So we're in 2 Peter, and we're going to just intro this, and I want you to see a few things, because here's one thing that we know about 2 Peter, is he's writing this so that believers in Jesus Christ can have confidence in the chaos. Boy, how appropriate is that for us today? Amen. How many here you would say the world is in chaos? Right? Not just our country, but the world is in chaos. Everywhere you go, it is absolutely chaotic. And if you follow news other than mainstream media, you will find it is crazy chaos when you actually get the real news. I mean, when you listen to the news, you get what I'm saying. And so we're going to title this Confident in Chaos, because that's what God does. And Peter is writing about this. And when he puts out this second letter, he's having to make adjustments from the first letter, because people were just kind of wigging out. And so he's like, hey, we're going to write this one, because we have to recognize and we have to confront and understand that we have mass amounts of false teaching going on. And that's what was happening here. And that's why Peter writes 2 Peter, because he has to, he's acknowledging and making people aware of false teaching. Now, if you are here and you pay attention to, if you're visiting, just let me say this clearly so you understand. There is only one or two TV preachers that I appreciate. The rest, I think, are heretics. And I don't even say that lightly, because what we have today is we have mass amounts of false teaching. And here's how we know it's false teaching. For example, boy, I'm going to throw a name out there. Lord, just use this to your glory. I'm not throwing names out. Dadgummit, man. I just got chicken. And so before I got up here, my goal is I don't want to offend people, right? I want to teach you. And if I'm not careful in what I say and how I say it, I'm going to offend people. And then you're going to go, now I don't like him, and so I'm not coming back. And so I just really want to be careful how I say this, because it's crucial that we understand truth. And it's crucial that not only do we understand truth, but that we investigate what's going on. And so when we have false teachers, when we have Joel Osteen, boy, my chicken went out the window. Where are you at now? When we have Joel Osteen, I think he's a fantastic motivational speaker. I think he's a fantastic motivational speaker. He's a horrible pastor. And that's as a pastor I'm saying this, and here's why. Because he uses a verse as a launch pad, but then he never goes back to the truth. He just keeps motivating you. And I think it's wonderful. But if you don't understand the scriptures, then you don't realize the necessity for Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that's what Peter's talking about here. And we're going to see this here in just a minute. Or next week. And then you have Joyce Meyer. And if you like Joyce Meyer, look, I think she's a good motivational speaker. But one, she's not qualified to be a pastor, because scriptures say that you have to be a man to be a pastor. Just look in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and that whole chapter is about the qualifications to be a pastor. And she doesn't qualify. And then she teaches false doctrine. And she's like, hey, I didn't realize that when I asked Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior, that I'm no longer a sinner. Well, that's a lie. We're sinners until we die. Amen? How many here, you ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, and you're still making silly decisions that aren't pleasing to God? Right? It's a constant battle. It's a battle in the flesh, right? We got to kill the flesh daily. And then you have, I mean, I try to forget this guy, and now I have. Praise Jesus, right? But man, I think he's of the devil. And because he gets up there and just everything that comes out of his mouth is anti-scriptural. And yet he's worth $750 million preaching the gospel that he doesn't preach. Copeland, Kenneth Copeland. Listen, if you ever see his face, turn it off. But it's a false teacher. And I've had people get mad at me. They're like, you can't say that. And I'm going, do you listen to him? False teacher. And I can go on and on and on of false teachers. Joseph Prince. If you listen to Joseph Prince, I encourage you not to. False teacher. Lady call me from Heartland Church, I think is what it was called. And she's like, hey, I just want all of our churches to come together as one and blah, 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 blah. And then I went online to investigate the church, and it says that their pastor is next to God, chosen by God, taught by God, and anybody that doesn't agree with him is wrong. And then as I read on, they encourage every person that they meet to leave their church that they go to now and join the cult. They don't call it a cult, but they encourage them to do that. And I'm like, oh my goodness. So I told my wife, I go, I'm going to call her back. And my wife's like, really? And I go, yeah, I'm going to call her back. And then God's like, let the trash take itself out. So in this book that we're going to look at of 2 Peter, first he establishes the Christian. Do you really believe what you believe? And if what you believe, does it line up with the scripture? And if it does, praise Jesus. If it doesn't, make the adjustment. And again, we're going to look at this. And then all of chapter 2 is false teachers. Because what we had in that day, we have clearly today. And that was going on back in that day was Gnosticism was a big part of it. And so the Gnostics is what they were called. And they were a group that would come in and they would, anything that Paul would teach or that any of the apostles would teach in their church, Gnostics would come in and say, it's all a lie, it's all a lie, it's all a lie. And what they would teach is that their main teaching was that your spiritual aspect of you and your physical aspect of you were disconnected. So as long as you spiritually served God, you could physically do anything you wanted. And it didn't affect your spiritual walk. Well, that's crazy. And let me help you out. So if you have a habit or if you have a problem looking at porn, no hands. This is rhetorical. Everybody sit on their hands. But if you're looking at porn, I'm going to bet everything I own, you're not thinking about Jesus. If you're getting drunk, you're not thinking about Jesus. If you're doing things that you know is wrong, it doesn't bring you closer to Jesus. As a matter of fact, it'll pull you away from Jesus and take you out of the church. And before you know it, the church is the problem. Because you're so comfortable in the world. And I tell people all the time, listen, if you go into the barn, the cows don't come out smelling like you. And if you've never been in a barn, Joe, you'll take them for a walk in there, won't you? Tell them. Yeah, Hannah would be more than happy to. And you'll see what I'm talking about. Pucky piles everywhere. Stinks. Or how many go into, listen, New York City and New York especially is great for mom and pop shops. Old school. And I love going into what I call hole in the walls. Amen, right? Gus's Hot Dogs. How many have ever been to Gus's Hot Dogs? How many have ever looked into the window and looked up when you were ordering? And how many have ever seen that fan that the grease is that thick on? And then if you go in, the walls, you find out, are that thick too, and they have strips where it's running down the walls. And you're like, oh my goodness. And then someone works in a kitchen and there's grease, and they come out, and what do they smell like? Grease. Well, that's the way we smell to God when we go into the world. We start smelling like the world. And in the Bible, it says that that's a foul smell to God. And so when we look here in Peter, he says, hey, here's what's going to happen. First, we're going to check your faith. Then we're going to warn you on how to watch out for false prophets, false teachers. Because they're everywhere. They're everywhere. And what's crazy is they have people convinced that their lies are truth. And I can go in here and go, no, this is what the Bible says. No, look right here. Oh, and it says it back here too. And then it says it back here. And so I think since he says it three times, that God actually meant it. And they're like, no, that's not what it means. Then help me out. No, you're just trying to cause problems. I'm like, no, I want you to know truth. You got to know truth, right? The truth sets us free. Lies put us in bondage. Well, let me tell you something. When Peter wrote the book of 1 Peter, he was moved by the suffering of the people of God. And when he writes this one, he's moved because the people are being seduced by Satan. And Peter's like, listen, guys, hold up. Stop. And so the first time, if you remember in 1 Peter 5:8, it says that that Satan is like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, right? He's looking for prey, and you could be it. Now, what do you mean by prey? All he wants to do is keep you from God. That's all he wants to do. He doesn't care about you. And so if he can dangle a carrot in front of you and pull you away from God, he'll do it. And you know what else he'll do? He'll use religion to keep you away from Jesus. He'll give you that much truth. Just that much truth. And you'll go, oh yeah, that is true. Yeah. And then you miss the lie that takes you off into another direction. He does it all the time. I mean, he's wonderful at that. And that's what Satan does. He seduces people. Or in the first one, he's a lion looking to take out everyone. And then in the second one, he's the liar. And so the first Peter talks about him being the lion looking to destroy us. And then the second one says, hold on, because he uses lies to do it. And he'll actually move people. He'll move people to hate the people that tell the truth. Anybody ever notice that what used to be wrong is now right? And what used to be right is now wrong? It used to be that we could use all the pronouns in the English language and use them correctly. He was a guy, she was a girl, and they were plural. Amen? Today, we can't use the word he because we don't know. Can't use the word she because it might offend. And they means one. Teachers are literally struggling, and this is truth. They're struggling because they're like, I don't know how to teach English anymore because I'm not allowed to teach it proper. The lie. The lies that are being told. Satan is the master liar. And Peter's writing 2 Peter to say, hey, listen and watch for the liar. And even when we know it's true, for some reason, we still, when we know that it's a lie, we still, for some reason, follow it and walk away from truth. And the reality is because we don't want to be offended. Oh, and Lord forbid we offend someone else. I was in Stewart's, if you're from around here, and I go up and pay for my stuff, and there was a girl at the counter. She was obviously a girl. As a guy, I could see she was a girl. And I have this thing, and I say it all the time. I'm like, hey, girl, thank you, right? That's what I said. I was like, hey, girl, thanks. To which she responded, you assumed my gender. And I looked at her for a second, thinking, do I want to engage in this? Amen, right? You guys know what I'm talking about. And then I found myself not having the ability to disengage. And I said, listen. Oh, because I was like, I assumed your gender. And she goes, you assume my gender. And then the manager heard. So the manager comes over. And she's like, what's going on? And the girl goes, he assumed my gender. I said, listen, if it looks like a duck, acts like a duck, and walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a duck. I don't care if you want to be called a dog. To which the manager said, sir, we can't have that in here. And to which I responded, you assumed my gender. So, right? I mean, who cares that I'm bald and bearded? I'm... But you see what's going on? The insanity of the world right now? The world teaches you that you can go to heaven because there's so many different roads to heaven. You pick it. You can get that. Listen, God loves everyone, and everyone is God's children. And so therefore, everyone is going to heaven. And Allah is the same as Jesus, just a different name. Well, Todd, you're Todd and I'm John. We're not the same, are we? You'd struggle if you had my hair, wouldn't you? That's how we're not the same, right? We're not the same. And neither is Jesus and Allah. You can believe in Buddhism and that'll get you to heaven. But here's the problem. Buddhism says it's all about good works. Just be the good person. And you can get to heaven. But the scriptures say it's Jesus and Jesus only. And without Jesus, you can't get to heaven. And I said it before. Listen, a lot of people believe in God, but they don't believe God. And there's your division right there. And Jesus says in John 8:47, you do not believe the words of God, or you're not God's because you do not believe the words of God. And so if you don't believe this is the word of God, you're not God's. Now, I know that doesn't land well with some, but that's reality. And for me to tell you any different, I would be the liar. And yet people will say, you just be good, and that's good enough. Okay, I have a question. Rhetorical. That means you don't answer. If being good gets you to heaven, do me a favor, put 2 Peter 1:1 up, please. If being good gets you to heaven, then here's my next question. How good is good enough? Like, where's the finish line? Or did God just leave it up to us to crazy walk around and bump into things until we finally figure it out? If that's the case, then why are you here? See, God had a plan, and it was a perfect plan. And so here, Peter says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. I just want to say real quick that the and apostle, there are guys out there and ladies that are pastors who say they're apostles. Okay. No, they're not. And here's why. They're not an apostle because I say they're not an apostle. They're not an apostle because they're not qualified. Here's the three qualifications that you need to be an apostle. Number one, you had to be handpicked by Jesus. Number two, you had to be personally taught by Jesus. And if you said, well, Jesus picked me and Jesus taught me. Okay, I'll give you that. We won't even argue that. But if any of you tell me that you can do the third one, I will call you a liar or the most amazing miracle ever, and you hang with me because we're going to get rich. You had to be there to witness the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. See, even if you could spiritually manipulate, I was picked by Jesus and taught by Jesus, you lose on the third one, so now you're not qualified to be an apostle. So nobody today can be an apostle. What we are disciples of Jesus Christ. Meaning that once you give your life to Jesus, you surrender your life to Jesus Christ. He is now your Lord and Savior. You understand there's no other way to heaven but Him only. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one can get to heaven except through me. Or He says, no one can get to the Father except through me who's in heaven. If you've done that, if you've been born again, and I use that term because Jesus says, if you haven't been born again, you can't get to heaven. So if you've been born again, literally, according to John chapter 3, then you're a child of God's. Now you're a disciple. So you're either a disciple or a child of God's, but nobody can be an apostle. Only the ones that Jesus chose, taught, and witnessed the death, burial, and resurrection. So if someone says, I'm an apostle, guess what they are immediately? False teacher. False teacher. There's your red flag. Run! So Simon Peter, a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. So Peter's like, hey, listen, to those, he's writing, in other words, this is his opening and he's writing the letter to these people. And who are these people? Anyone who believes in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's who he's writing it to. So if you're not a believer, he's not writing this to you. He's writing it and you're like, well, then why am I here? Because we want you to understand and we want you to be a believer. But to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness. So how do we obtain it? And that's what I was about to talk about. If we say it's by good works, great. Then how good is good enough? Like if this was the line and you go, whoo, I finally made it. Wow, I'm exhausted, but it was good. Like, where's that line where God says, hey, if you do up to this, you're in. We don't find it anywhere in Scripture. There's no line of good works. As a matter of fact, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, if you have a moment, Josh, to put Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 up there, I would appreciate it. I failed to give them scripture again today, so I told them just kind of hang on with me and we'll ride this ride together. But Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith, that faith in Jesus Christ, because God extended grace to each and every human being saying, hey, I love you enough. Listen, I don't love you so much to support your sin. No, 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 no. I love you enough to give you an opportunity to get to heaven through my son, Jesus Christ. That's what he says here. For by grace, that's his grace, the opportunity to believe unto Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's God's grace. You have been saved through faith. Faith in what? Not of yourselves. Not in yourselves, because if it's of yourself, it's works. And he says, listen, it is the gift of God. not of works. Because guess what you people will do? And I'm guilty of this at times. I'm like, yeah, look what I did. Woo, I'm the man. Right? And then you stand there talking and turn and twist a knee and you realize, oh, you're weak. That's what happened. That's why I'm limping, because I was talking and I moved, but my foot didn't. But my knee said, okay, I'll go with you. And then it changed its mind midstream. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So what's works? It's anything that's up to you. Anything that's up to me. I mean, the truth is, if you believe baptism gets you to heaven, that's works, because that's up to you. You control that. See, faith in God and going to heaven and giving your life to Jesus Christ, God controlled that. And now it's just a decision that we make. Are we going to believe in God and accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior so that heaven is our home? Or are we going to keep saying, it's up to me, I'll do it, I'll take care of it, I got this, I'm a self-made man. Nobody here's self-made. Where's your mom and dad? Say, my dad left. Okay, so where's your mom and your donor? Nobody's self-made. And so, good, not of works. Okay, so if we ask the question, how good is good enough? The truth is, we don't have an answer for that, because we don't find it anywhere. It's just what we assume. Well, you know what assume means, right? So then how about this? How do we know when we cross the finish line? And then how about this one? If it's by good works, by whose standard? By whose standard? Yours or mine? Or God's? Well, if you say yours, have you ever sinned? Have you ever told a lie? Have you ever taken even so much as a piece of candy without asking? You're a thief. Men, have you ever looked at women and thought the wrong things? Oh, you lusted in your heart. You ever had sex outside of marriage? You're a fornicator. Ladies, you ever do the same? Yeah, you too. So now we got to go by your standard? You want to go by my standard? Don't. I've done the same. So let's go by God's standard. Well, guess what? You already messed that one up. How many here kept all 10 commandments perfectly? Perfectly. I mean, you've never lied. You've never looked at anyone. You never hated your brother or your enemy or your neighbor. You never stole. You know, you've handled all this that God says, the 10 commandments, perfectly. Who here has done that? Raise your hand. Okay, so we can't go by your standard. We can't go by my standard. So we say, how good is good enough? By whose standard? We got to narrow it down to God's. Because here's what I know. Some of you think it's okay to get drunk. And some of you think it's okay to live with someone. Or some of you think it's okay to have sex outside of marriage. And some of you think it's okay to use the Lord's name in vain. And some of you think it's okay to hate someone. Some of you think it's okay to not forgive. Some of you have issues. And some of you don't agree with the other one that has the issues, because guess what? Your standard is different than their standard. And so now all these standards are different, because it's like, look, you know what? It's okay to tell a white lie, but you can't tell a black lie. Let me ask you this. What's the difference between a lie and a lie? They're all lies. A white lie is just what we label it so we can feel better about ourselves, and we did it for a just cause. No, you did it to protect yourself. We don't lie to protect other people. We lie so that those other people don't dislike us. So we lie to protect ourselves. So we just blow the standard all to pieces, don't we? So now we don't know how good enough is. We can't obtain it because we've already blown it. And we can't pick anyone's standard, because everyone's standard is different and it's according to their own lusts. So how do we get to heaven? And if you go back to 1 Peter, please, 1 Peter, or 2 Peter 1, please. So then when we look at this and Peter says, hey, listen, to those who have obtained like precious faith. Faith is not believing in yourself, but is believing in God. Is believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because guess what he does? He recognizes that we're not perfect. That's why he came and died on the cross for us, because he realized that it's only through him can we have life and have life everlasting and get to heaven. Because the truth is, there's not one person in here that's any good. Not one that hasn't messed up and really made a poor decision over and over and over and over again. Because here's what I know is true. Every one of us have that little sin that we just like to hold on to. Now, we'll give away the majority of it, but there's that little tag that we just want to keep hold of, so it's always there in case we don't want to walk with Jesus. We can pull that little tag out and enjoy our sin. That right there alone will stop you from going to heaven if you don't believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's why Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets there except through me. That's why Jesus in John 3 says, you must be born again. And Nicodemus, being the religious teacher, right? Remember I told you these false teachers? He was a false teacher. And he was like, born again, what should I do, Jesus? Climb back up into my mother's womb and be born again? I'm an old man. I can't do that. And Jesus says, I thought you were the teacher. And so Jesus says, no, you must be born again. And he talks about how you have to be born again spiritually. Give your life to Jesus Christ. Make him your Lord and Savior, and that's it. And then all of a sudden, this you believe. You may not understand it all, but you believe it's all the Word of God and it's all truth. Even when it's a crazy story about God making and preparing a special fish that swallows Jonah, takes him down to the bottom of the sea for 3 days and 3 nights, and it wasn't a good hotel. As a matter of fact, Jonah said it was like hell. And the fish came up and threw him up on, vomited him up onto the beach. And then Jonah was like, okay, God, I'll listen now because that wasn't good. And if you don't believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you think that is the craziest story I've ever heard and there's no truth to it. And then when you believe in Jesus, you're like, man, God will do anything to get our attention. He loves us that much. Now think about that just for a second. See, it's all in your perspective, right? And so either you're going to believe that this is the Word of God, or you're not going to believe it's the Word of God. And if you don't believe it's the Word of God, you're not going to heaven. And if you do believe it's the Word of God, you get your life right. To those who have obtained like precious. Now see, why is that word precious in there? I think it's in there because, number one, it's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. It's so precious. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that the multitude are going, is on the road to hell, and only the few will find their way to heaven. And the reason that the multitude is going to hell is because they reject the Word of God as truth and Jesus as the only way. And the few that find it, right? The few that are like, oh my goodness, right? I'm so confident I'm going to heaven. I can swing over hell on a dried up corn stalk singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. That's how sure I am I'm going to heaven. Not because of anything I've done, but because of what Jesus has done for me. And I received the gift of eternal life. That's it. And the reason that few find it is because we sit here and we go, that Bible is nothing but mythical. It's got metaphors. None of it's really true. Like, really, you think God made a big fish, swallowed a man? Man can't live in a fish for 3 days in the ocean and then come up whole. Do you realize the acid in his stomach would have consumed him within 3 days? And besides that, the only thing that could swallow a man whole is a whale. And you're still wrong. The whale can't do it because its throat can't open up wide enough. That's why he eats little schools of fish. Because the whale can swallow the fish. Can't swallow a man whole. That's what made all of it such a miracle. And of God. And if you don't believe that, you don't believe the rest of the Bible. And if you don't believe that, and you don't believe the rest of the Bible, then you don't believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. You can't go to heaven. Not because I said so, but because our pride and our flesh says, whoa, I'm not doing that. Mm-mm. I'll do it myself. And besides that, if I go to church, there's a bunch of do's and don'ts and people wanting to control my life and blah, 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 blah. And you're like, I won't do that. I'll live my own life my own way. Well, God bless you. Let me know how it's turning out. Because when I did that, oh, I ain't gonna lie, there was a lot of fun in it, but there were a lot of train wrecks too. And not just me wrecking my life, but me wrecking everybody's life that got in my way. And it's not until we surrender to Jesus. So here's where you're at today. And what you got to ask yourself, like only you can do this. Nobody can get you to heaven. You don't go to heaven because you were baptized as a child. You don't get to heaven because your parents are Christian. You don't get to heaven because you go to church. You don't get to heaven because you don't go to church. You don't get to heaven because you believe in God. You don't get to heaven because your mama believes in God. You don't get to heaven because your grandmother believes in God. You don't get to, listen, you get to heaven because you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Period. To those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God, our meaning if you are with me and you believe in Jesus, then we're linked here, our God and Savior Jesus Christ. So now here's where you're at. You got to ask yourself this question. Why am I going to heaven? Am I going to heaven? You know, we were talking this morning about the Catholic Church, and I'm not bashing, please, but as I've learned and grown, the Catholic Church says that if you're not a member of the Catholic Church, you can't get to heaven. Well, here's a problem. That's works. Right? That's up, because then that means it's up to you. Which then means I can't be confident that I'm going to heaven because I don't go to the Catholic Church. So the church isn't the only way. Works isn't the way. Money isn't the way. What about the thief on the cross? He was a murdering, lying thief who deserved to die. He admitted that on the cross. And then he looked at Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when you get to your kingdom. And Jesus said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. He didn't say, whoa, buddy, hold on. When you get down off the cross and you got to do at least 200 hours of community service. Like, come on, dude, you got to get your ducks in a row. You want me to get you to heaven? Or, hey, you haven't given enough money. All you done stole money. You got to give money. He didn't tell him that. And you know what he also didn't tell him? Hey, you haven't been baptized. So you can't get into my heaven. Did Jesus tell him any of that? No, he looked at him and said, because you believed, you put your faith in me. Here's what Jesus said. Today, you will be with me in paradise. He couldn't do nothing to earn it. It's all about believing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's it. Religion won't get you there. Works won't get you there. Money won't get you there. Positive thinking won't get you there. None of that. None of that will even get you close. That was part of the false teaching that Peter talks about. And so my question for you today is, have you obtained like precious faith that of Peter's talking about in the Savior Jesus Christ? Like everyone in this room, that's where you're at. Whether you like it, don't like it, whether it settles well or it doesn't settle well, whether it makes you nauseous or it doesn't make you nauseous. That's like the truth. Not like the truth. It is the truth. And so what are we going to do with it? That's the real question. What are we going to do with it? And it's up to every individual. Every individual has to make their own decision on this. And all I did was tell you what the gospel says. Not what I've said. What does this say? And if you believe this, then you can't deny what I've said. You can only deny Jesus. I would like every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for those who are here today. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for the book of 2 Peter that really challenges us to look at what we believe. Do we really believe in Jesus, who you say is the only way to heaven, Father? You have sacrificed your Son, that whosoever should believe in him would not perish. Father, that's what your word says. So, Father, I just pray that you would do an amazing work in the hearts of each and every one of us here. And, Lord, that we would hear truth, know truth, and then respond accordingly to that truth. Lord, I pray that you would move in a mighty way. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to give you an opportunity to surrender your life to Jesus. It's a personal decision that God holds everyone accountable for. And that's how everyone can get to heaven, if they choose to believe in Jesus, whether they be poor or rich or have disabilities or whatever it is, because it's not about works. It's not about how much money you have or you don't have. It's not whether you can give or not give or work hard or not work hard. It's about, do you believe? Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you believe with your heart, what does it mean to believe with your heart? That means it is absolutely very personal to you. It's real. It's not in your head. You've not convinced yourself of this. It's in your heart, and you can't escape it. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And then with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And so, if it's your desire to give your life to Jesus Christ, then I want you to pray this prayer quietly and to yourself. Now listen, the prayer doesn't save you. It's not magical. The words are not magical. It's just kind of a roadmap and a time stamp where you can go, this is the day that I, with all of my heart, gave my life to Jesus Christ and made him my Lord and Savior. And then the Bible says that you will be different from that moment on. That's how you'll know it's real. And so if that's your desire, you quietly and pray this prayer to yourself. Father in heaven, today I believe Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that he is the only way to heaven. I don't understand all of your word, but I believe that truth. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe he rose on the third day, conquered the grave. And I believe he is at your right hand. I understand that I can't work my way to heaven. I understand that I need forgiveness for the sins that I've already done. And so today I ask you to forgive me of all the sin I've ever done. Today I ask you to forgive me of all the wrong that I've ever done. And today I repent. I'm not going to keep walking in the same direction that I've been walking. I'm going to turn from the world. I'm going to turn from my wicked ways, and I'm going to turn to you, and I'm going to walk towards you, and I'm going to be obedient to your word. Today, Jesus, I surrender my life to you.